And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Monday, April 12th. A good afternoon to you once again. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you here with us. MarketTalkAg.com. That's our home on the web. You can find all of our social media links there, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our YouTube channel, where you can watch the video version of each episode every day. You can also find all of our streaming sources and our great radio partners there as well, including our friends at the American Ag Network, the Alpha Media Farm Network as well. Also friends at KMA in Shenandoah, Iowa, KASM in Albany, Minnesota, Joe Gill and the crew up there, as well as Fastline Fast Track, great partners and radio affiliates. You can find all the details, markettalkag.com. Well, we had a mostly down day in the market today, at least on the grain side for sure, and mainly on the livestock side as well, honestly, looking at the final numbers. Let's talk about all of it. Let's bring in our good friend Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. Brian, good afternoon to you, sir, and kind of a down day to start the trading week here. Kind of was led by that soybean bean oil complex after a rough palm oil report I noticed this morning. Overall, what did you see in the trade that kind of pushed us lower today? Was it that soy oil complex?
That was certainly part of it. You did have a couple of things residual from last week too. Reports, now three major reports. You had the March 31st stocks and acreage, and then April 9th supply and demand report, and the stocks or quarterly or ending stocks. We'll get it right here for soybeans left unchanged. On Friday, and that seemed to kind of almost have the bulls sort of giving up for right now. Just couldn't sustain any strength. Some technical sell signals today, too. It's stochastics crossing over, giving some sell signals. So we talked about this potentially happening, that all of a sudden you kind of get these reports behind us, and now it's what next? You look to South America. Yeah, you can argue some weather, really not much weather. You can argue the vegetable oil market may have overpriced itself for a bit, or maybe for good without more weather. And then look here in the U.S., it's going to be cooler, but also drier. So planting probably stays on a normal, if not maybe above normal or faster than normal pace. So I think a combination of many things. I couldn't really point to one thing, but certainly the lack of strength in soybean oil, that whole complex looking pretty iffy today.
Yeah, looking pretty iffy today. But, you know, we consider where our price levels are at. I mean, still good price action there. And you know, on the weather side, you mentioned the weather a little bit, and you know, maybe starting to get some decent precipitation over drought areas of the northern plains, although it's going to take a lot up there in the Canadian prairies. And I know Argentina saw a lot of rain here over the weekend. But really, it seems to me at this point, the markets, like you mentioned, the bulls are kind of running out of news to trade on here a little bit after all these reports now. And it seems like maybe we're going to shift this thing back to a weather market mostly. Would that be something you would agree with, or do you?
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I would also tell you that if you look at what we call the seasonal indexes, it gets tougher at this time of year. You just run out of reason for the market to go up if it's not brutally wet or really hot and dry, and you can't really argue both on a widespread scale. There were some nice 100,000 ton export announcements today. China, I think the second one was another Bangladesh. Eastern country, Bangladesh, and just didn't do much for the market. It almost seemed like the market kind of went beyond that. So not a great start to the week. I don't think, you know, it's a situation where all of a sudden, you know, farmers have all these beans on hand. In fact, they probably have very little. It's just last week, what do we have in the export sales? Negative 3.4 million on the weekly number. You can't have those kind of numbers and expect the market to move up.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, a lot of momentum trading moving in here. And obviously, you know, funds, they don't want to see a stagnant market. They're not making any money in that way or doing anything of that nature. So it almost just seems like we're kind of due to just get some corrections here. And, you know, this might be a period where we might see some of the dips bought. I mean, we've seen that now for the last few months, Brian.
Yeah, it's actually been a lot longer than that. It's been for some of the markets, it's been almost a year we've been in an uptrend. If you might remember, things got really ugly last April. Energy prices went negative during the second week of April. So it's been a big long bull market. Unfortunately, when they end, sometimes they end kind of quickly and abruptly. Commitment of traders reports, you know, show that the funds, the managed money, long a lot of contracts, maybe not at their peak, but always vulnerability when you're that long the market, almost regardless of the fundamentals. So again, I think it's just more this, to me, it's just more this time of year. Seeing that we're down is disappointing, but certainly not surprising. It's been a really good bull run. Some of the bean contracts today did move through moving averages as well. 40 and 50 day, we saw, I was just having to be pegging the July contract, but that dropped underneath those levels. Last time they were there, were just right prior to the March 31st report, which things got a real boon. All of a sudden you have nothing to boon it again. So I think it's just a combination of a bunch of technical things. Wheat market too, we saw the same thing there, Jesse, off a dime today. Northern Plains states really dry. You know, you read articles and you got to be careful of the news. What you're reading is kind of published in a day or two or three old, or the mindset's old. We're talking about, you know, the Northern Plains and dry weather, halting planting and waiting for rain, waiting for moisture before you plant spring wheat or get beans in the ground or whatnot. So there's some of that out there, but I don't think on April 12th you can just point to that. You need a little more than that. Yeah.
I have one positive I noticed today at the close, and this, you know, might go into some good marketing things for producers here still. As we know, there's still some, you know, corn sales to be had out there, or even the old crop wasn't necessarily down too hard today. We pulled ourselves off the lows. And the new crop, if guys are marketing any new crop corn sales, I mean, you know, you look out to March 2022, 503 and a quarter on the board today. December new crop, 496 and a half, finished unchanged. So some of those new crop corn contracts held their own and held together today. And I think that's a positive, Brian.
It is. It is definitely a positive. It's also a sign of bear spreading. So the traders are, that means they're still in the front month buying the back months, whether they're entering new bear spreads or exiting the bull spreads or both. Always hard to tell within a certain day, but almost certainly here, you know, probably entering new spreads. We heard, if you might remember, we talked about last week, the week before, tightening bases and merchandisers trying to source corn for May, June, July delivery. Strong basis levels. Well, my guess is they probably got a lot of corn in the pipeline on basis contract or just outright sales. We saw some really good positive numbers last week. So bigger picture looks supportive. Near term, boy, it certainly looks a little bit more challenged today. And it was just a commodity thing as a whole. If you look at the grains, it was down. Live cattle down front month. Hog market's down pretty hard. The big winner today was really the dairy market. That's all of a sudden caught fire here and running into new highs on. And I'm not sure. I certainly expectations for strong demand, but I don't think we're going to see any shortfall of dairy inventory. So it's finicky markets for sure.
Well, actually, before we get to dairy, real quick, any new advice or any changes that producers need to think about with grains as far as their marketing plan here, as we're kind of shifting past the news of all these reports we've had, kind of just bang, bang, bang here, Brian?
I think we want to go back to what we've talked about several times. And while they never hit that objective, we were looking for probably $15 beans. They just never got there. About 14 and a half did it. And we talked about $6 old crop corn, just about there. Talked about $5 new crop corn. So we had some major areas or close to major areas of, you know, points of interest, points of probably going to need something different to get beyond that. You're probably, you know, think about it. The end user is going to pay more than $5 a bushel for new crop corn. They really have to believe that there could be a scarcity of corn. I don't think you can really fall into the "I believe there will be a scarcity of corn" category on April 12th. In fact, the contrary, the $5 level probably buys some acres from last year. I'm sorry, buys some acres from the March 31st report that didn't show up there. So keep those bigger points in mind and kind of the discipline to sell into those levels and making sure you're staying well balanced.
Well, let's talk about that dairy market a little bit since you brought it up. Some good numbers there today. Talk about what we're seeing. What is going on with dairy markets and what should our dairy producers be looking at right now?
Yeah, well, you're looking at a number of things. You're looking at, you know, this whole new kind of reset on stimulus package and what does that mean for the dairy industry. But it's more than that. It's more just this drive of money flow into commodity markets, and the dairy market all of a sudden the last 10 days just kind of grabbed hold and caught fire. And I think the traders are actually afraid to sell the market right now, just the way that it had some vengeance there. So you've got some money pushing the market. Let's look beyond the maybe the trying to figure out the why and look at where the value is from an end user perspective. When we talked last week, we said, hey, we got something going on here. It's probably a good point to think about getting into that, you know, 15, 20, 25% sale category for the rest of the year if you haven't made sales already. This is another opportunity to do that, to add to that, getting into that 25 to 50% sale, and maybe even stronger than that. We've got some really unique prices right now at a time of year when historically we start to see the spring flush, more milk, more product, less demand usually as summer rolls around, schools let out, less, you know, less of the consistent demand there, more excess supplies in the summer. So we're very much encouraging a defensive posture in the milk.
What about butter, cheese, anything there, Brian?
You know, just really good demand perception that we're going to continue to export it well. Exports remain active. But again, all of those are what I would term the overbought territory. Mm-hmm. In particular, when you look at the global dairy trade, we had some good numbers there last week. But I don't think you've got enough numbers to sustain this kind of momentum. This is more likely a short cover rally, and I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing traders even buy milk and sell cattle. We've seen the cattle market go straight down the last 3 days, or at least two big days down. It flipped over on Thursday, but milk market just, you know, finding this rhythm, and it almost looks like you've got some spreading going on in that territory.
Well, and you mentioned cattle, and let's segue to that. And yeah, kind of flipped over the last couple of days. We saw good strength in the cash market was building, and we got some good early sales last week. And then, yeah, the market kind of flipped over, and even today we were mixed to lower. What are you seeing in cattle here as we start this week?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. The product value, you know, we've always argued you can't just sustain a futures rally without the product value. And then we saw the real good jump in the choice and selects, really good movement activity there. Step back, look at the futures market. Just, I think it reached a point where there too, it sort of runs a level where you've got to continue to find new buyers to invest in a market anticipating that it goes higher. What ends up happening is you lose momentum. And so that's what's happened in the dairy and the hog market. I mean, in the cattle hog market, it lost its momentum. It's a quick slippery slope. And then from here, so this is really the key point here, where we have to ask ourselves, well, have we tipped it over and is this the beginning of a bear market or a downturn for a while? Or is this one of these markets that kind of got ahead of itself, tipped over now, needs to get its footing, and then we'll move higher? My guess is needs to get its footing. We still see really strong demand. We see, you know, more restaurants opening. I know there's worries about, you know, some states going, you know, a little bit tighter on the COVID restrictions. I got to tell you, I think people are looking at this going, look, there's more and more people have the vaccine or the shot every day. We're not going to go back to this nonsense of, I don't, that's political term. I shouldn't say that maybe, mm-hmm. But the idea of, you know, shutting things back down, shutting restaurants down. It's just like people have had enough. They're going to go for it. And, I'm not seeing any sign of that here in Wisconsin where the you know, there's plenty of people out and about.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I've seen the same in Tennessee, plenty of people out and about. There's a lot of places where people are out and about. And I think that you're right, that demand is going to remain there and remain strong, that retail demand for both beef and for pork. And, you know, I look at some of these numbers here on the cattle board. I'll be interested to see the cash trade this week and how that develops. You know, we had those higher prices last week. We moved the futures trade a little lower here. Are we going to see lower prices come in off of last week? Or are we going to sustain where we were at? I think that'll be a key, Brian.
We'll see. But, you know, choice today, I don't know if you saw, it was $1.34 lower, but at 270.83. Mm-hmm. We were talking a couple of months ago, we were talking in the 220s and 230s, and then we got through the 240, and then it just kind of took off from there. So if unless it really nosedives, the setback in the futures is probably just more temporary, I would assume, consolidation. These cattle, if you had cattle, probably needed to be hedged. So I think the hedging interest picked up, and just the overbought territories in a lot of the charts and some of the signals out there were, you know, certainly we had some some stochastics crossover last week in the cattle market. So looking a little soft for that reason.
What about the hog market here today? I was curious to talk with you about the hogs here today, Brian. Just, you know, we saw all the markets kind of turn themselves lower, and hogs especially, triple digit losses here as we work through the, you know, a close today. Front month April slightly higher, pretty much steady on the day. Was this a consolidation move in the hog market, do you think, today, or is there something else underlying here?
It's a pretty strong signal today, everything beyond the April contracts. So when you get beyond April, if you look at the May, the June, July, those contracts in particular, what you had was a real strong bearish key reversal signal today. What does that mean? That just means those contracts traded into new highs and then took out Friday's low, so a wider range, and they took it out decisively. Decisive closes below the 10-day moving average. The market has been very respectful of that for multiple months. And so a very weak close after a higher day, bearish key reversal. I would argue that might have been your topping signal in the hog market.
So if we see that as a topping signal in the hog market, if I'm an independent hog producer out there that hasn't made some marketing moves, it would seem to me that now might be the time to make some marketing moves if I haven't done so already, Brian.
Correct. Now's the time. Don't wait around forever. Take advantage of these high prices. A lot of traders wait for signals. This was certainly a signal at the top of a market, at the top of a bull run. If they dismiss it, fine. But if they don't, the handwriting's on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. Brian, any other final thoughts for us here today? Any outside market factors we need to look at or anything else in general you want to mention?
Well, I think if you just, again, look at sort of the stock market, the hog market, the cattle market, the soybean market, the corn market, all of these markets, there's many others. They've all had big uptrends and movements higher, even the energy markets. That doesn't last forever. And so in particular, the row crops, you know, we really got to look at and go, we don't want to micromanage it, but when you start getting signals at the top of market after major reports, and now you just don't have anything, you're kind of in this window here. April is always kind of a death blow for the market because you're getting a window where you just don't have enough weather that you can, with any confidence, say, well, it's too wet in April or it's too dry in April. April is just kind of this month where a lot of things can kind of ebb and flow and go on hold. Rubber hits the road a lot once you start getting into May and see that 2-week forecast, 3-week. It reminds me of 2019, when we got into the early part of May, and all of a sudden it turned really cold and wet, and that forecast stuck around. All of a sudden, you know, the market really took off as it thought about late planting, and in fact, that's exactly what happened. So in April here, it just I guess everybody's busy. They're geared up. They want to go a million different directions to get going. They're logistically taxed because they're trying to line everything up and run, and as you should be. But take a few minutes to kind of think about these markets, some real opportunities and some real seasonal tendency to go down or can go down in April into May here.
Well, Brian, I know if producers listening in, watching in here today need a little advice with their marketing, they can reach out to you and the team there at Total Farm Marketing to get a little help, can't they?
They sure can. Happy to have a conversation. 800-334-9779. Jesse, just, give us a call. We're at that time of year where it's just, there's no stone that should be unturned. There's no poor question. All questions are good questions. And now it's time to put a little extra overtime in to make sure that you're on top of things.
Definitely. Well, you can learn more as well. TotalFarmMarketing.com. Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. Appreciate you joining us here on this Monday. We'll talk to you next week. And this has been the Monday edition of Market Talk here for April 12th. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great day.